Hello, we're studying the preface to the Wisdom of Kabbalah, item 50. You're welcome to go to Cup TV and ask questions, and selected questions will be asked during the lesson. So, again, the preface to the Wisdom of Kabbalah, item 50. The Rosh, Toch, Sof in each Partsuf, and the order of Itlapshut of the Partsufim in one another. You've already know the difference between the two Malchuts in each Partsuf, the Mating Malchut and the Ending Malchut. From the Malchut, in the Mating Malchut, 10 Sfirot of Or Chozer emerge from her and above, clothing the 10 Sfirot of upper light, called 10 Sfirot de Rosh, meaning only roots. From there down, the 10 Sfirot de Guf of the Partsuf expand in the form of Hitlapshut, clothing of the lights in complete Kelim. These 10 Sfirot de Guf divide into two discernments of 10 Sfirot. 10 Sfirot de Toch, inside, and 10 Sfirot de Sof, the end or the conclusion. The position of the 10 Sfirot de Toch are from the Peh to the Tabul, the place of the clothing of the lights in the Kelim. The 10 Sfirot of the end of the Partsuf are positioned from the Tabul down to the Siyum Raglim. This means that Malchut ends each Sfira until it reaches its own quality, which is unfit to receive any light. Hence, the Partsuf ends there. This cessation is called the end of the Etzba'ot Raglin, of the Partsuf, and from there down, it is an empty space, a void without light. Know that these two kinds of ten sfirot extend from the root ten sfirot called Rosh, since both are included in the mating Malchut. This is so because there is clothing power there, the Or Chozer that rises and clothes the upper light. There is also the Masach's detaining force over Malchut, so it would not receive the light by which the Zivug Da'aka'a raises Or Chozer was done. At the Rosh, these two forces are only roots. Yet, when they expand from above downward, the first force, which is the clothing force, is executed in the 10 Sfirot de Toch from the Ped down to the Tabul. And the second force, which detains Malchut from receiving light, is executed in the 10 Sfirot de Sof and Siyum, from Tabul down to the end of the Etzba'ot Raglin. These two kinds of 10 Sfirot are always called Chagat Neim. All 10 Sfirot de Toch, from Peh to Tabul, are called Chagat. And all 10 Sfirot de Sof, from Tabul down, are called Nehim.
Shailot.
Questions. Nenan. Truly. Okay, then we'll continue onwards. What? That I should ask a question and answer it? Do you have a question? Please ask.
He says there's two malchuts. One that the mating and
the one that stands at the peh, and?
And if you can show it, if you already draw it, if you can show where it is.
Yes, malchut here that does the zivug of haka'ah with the upper light that appears in the Rosh. And the concluding Malchut is at the Tabul, which receives the Or Yashar, the direct light, that spreads inside not Or Yashar, the opening me, the internal light. Here it is Or Yashar, Or Chozer. This is Or Pnimi, or Ta'amim, and it returns in Nekudot, and here is the Sof, where is the empty space. Please. What do you want to ask, please? Those are the three. This here is the decision in the Pe'ah of Rosh. This is the decision. This is the light of Ein Sof, you could say, relative to the Kli. It's always Ein Sof. It could be a very small light, but towards the Kli, where it's not limited, it's called the light of Ein Sof. And then there's a decision in Pe'ah Rosh. This is where the Masach stands, where it decides how much you can receive in order to bestow. To that extent of how much you can receive in order to bestow is the optimi, and the redundance of the light that cannot clothe inside the Rosh in Or Chozer appears from the outside, and it's called Or Mekif, surrounding light. And there's a bitush of Pnimin Makif, the beating of the internal and surrounding light, where it wants to enter into the Sof of the Parzuf, but the Kli, the Masach, which stands at Tabur, doesn't let it. And it does actually the opposite. It limits, and therefore, upon this limitation, Pe'ah Rosh decides once again that it's starting an act of purification. And then the Masach that holds the Rosh starts to rise in degrees of ascent. Shoresh Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet. Just that here it's in an opposite form. Dalet Gimel Shoresh Dalet Gimel Bet Aleph Shoresh. Yes, Gadi.
Can you repeat the text and explain according to your drawing everything in the text?
Okay.
I just, the piece of the puzzle that I'm lacking. A few lessons ago, you said that the Neran Chai doesn't go out of the vessel. Is that true?
Light never goes out of the Kli, it appears in the Kli.
So when it purifies, where does it go? And it comes back to the new Partsuf, only with a different name?
Where does the Or Pnimi that was inside the Partsuf go out to? It disappears.
So it does go out.
Say that it goes out. I don't understand what you're trying to know here. What does it mean that it goes out? Or
if the Partsuf that comes afterwards, Zav, is it a new Partsuf or is it the same Partsuf with a different name?
Both in the same Pazuf and outside the Pazuf. There's inner Ab that spreads in Galgalta, from which the external Ab is born.
So the first inner light that went into Galgalta, or purifies and comes out of the Pazuf,
it seemingly emerges. Yeah, it disappears from the reception of the Pazuf.
And the new light that comes in the new degree of Pazuf Ab, what is it more? It's more purified,
it's a completely different light. The Kli change and the light changes.
So it's not opening, it's the same Neran Chai that goes in?
Where did it enter? So say up, not ab.
Up, sorry.
It's not a matter of grammar, it's Kabbalah.
So the inner light that re-enters after it was purified from Galgalta,
yes,
it's a completely different light, or it's a...
Of course, every time different light, because the kelim change. It can't be the same kelim.
So what's the difference between Neran Chai and Galgalta and the Neran Chai of Ab?
Exactly. This is Neran Chai of Ab, this is Neran Chai of Galgalta. That's the difference. The difference in kelim is the difference in lights. In Galgalta, it belongs to the Partsuf of Keter, and here it belongs to the Partsuf of Chochma. What exactly is the difference? What's the difference between bread and cake? This is sweet, and this is like that, and this is like this. It's a difference.
Yeah, but it's actually in the same toch, just in a different partzuv, with the same lights of Ner HaChai. So something has to change.
The kelim change. That's why the light change, of course.
Can you recognize the change itself?
Kli, do you understand that it's a different kli? I don't understand your question.
I don't understand what a different kli means.
A desire.
Even though it's the same lights going in?
When is it the same lights of Ner HaChai? Where did you see such a thing?
They're called the same.
Oh, so they're called the same thing. So you're mistaken, thinking that it's the same thing. He's also called Moshe, and he's also called Moshe. Is it the same thing or not?
So what's the difference?
The difference is in the desires, in the kelim, and accordingly, there's a difference in the kelim, the lights that fill the kelim. Maybe I don't understand his questions, I don't know.
The purification of the Masach, it happens by Bitush Pnim Umakif?
Yes. Well, Ventura.
According to the text, the force of clothing and the pushing away, does that belong to Malchut?
Yes. Because it has the detaining force, it can develop the clothing force.
So it'll be for the benefit.
No, this is cause and consequence. The detaining force is the cause, and then it can be as clothing upon the upper light. Hey, what did we want? Oh, he wanted for me to read again. And okay, I'll read. Item 50. You already know the difference between the two malchut in each partzuf, which is the mating malchut and the ending malchut. The malchut that is mating is in the pe, where it does a zivug with the upper light, and the ending malchut is in truth in tabur, but we think of siyum in general, where the siyum of the ending of the degree. And in the place where the zivug of the malchut comes in ten sefirot in resistance in to clothing, which clothe the ten sefirot of the upper light, which are called the ten sefirot of Rosh, meaning also the ten sefirot of direct light and also the ten sefirot of Or Chozer are both called Rosh. They are clothed upon one another and they build the Rosh, meaning that only roots. Why roots? Because there's no clothing in kelim yet, but everything is built in rejection above the kelim, above the desires. Meaning everything in spirituality starts from rejection, from the desire. And from there down, the ten sefirot of guf of the partzuf expand, meaning in the itlabshut, the clothing of lights in the complete kelim. Why did the desire change? Where here it rejects and here it receives within it. Because specifically the rejection qualified it to receive in order to bestow. If he can't reject, he can't receive. If he rejects to the extent in which he can reject, he can make a calculation of how much to receive in order to bestow. The rejection on its own is not enough. After that, there needs to be a calculation. Of course, he rejects 100% and receives 20%. And these 10 sefirot of the guf divide to two discernments of the 10 sefirot, which are called the 10 sefirot of toch and the 10 sefirot of sof. The 10 sefirot of the toch have the position from peh to the tabur, the place or of the clothing of the lights and the kelim. And the 10 sefirot of the siyum of the partzuf, the end of the partzuf, are siyum, sof or siyum. Its place is from the tabur to the siyum reglim, which means that the malchut, with the ending malchut of each sfira, until it reaches its own quality, which is unfit to receive any light. Meaning that the whole masach is completed, and there is no more, and therefore, are there other desires or not? The desires that can be attributed to the partzuf, there are none. There are there more or not? It could be that there are. And therefore, the Pantsuf stops there, and this Pina of cessation is called the Siyum, of the end of Etzbaot Raglin, of the Pantsuf, where there's an empty space or a void without light. A void. Why? What is a void? Desires that have no masach upon, and no restriction, and therefore this is a void. Clear? No questions? It's a sign that it's clear. I don't know like that. Don't.
What's clothing? Can you show me here what clothing is, where it is, what's the cause, what's the effect?
There's Ol Chozer here. Ol Chozer. This is called the clothing light. To the extent in which it can clothe within it, Or Yashar. To the extent in which it can clothe it within it, it's a sign that it's clothing it and making a calculation as much as it can. To put from the Or Yashar in the Or Chozer as much as it can to put it into it. Into its desire. Everything is done by the desire. Here, in the Rosh of the Partsuf, the calculation is made, because I reject everything. Then I make a calculation, how much can I receive for the host? But the calculation, according to that calculation, I receive inwards, in practice. Opnimi is where I already receive. I don't hear it that way.
Where's the machsom here?
I don't talk that way.
The machsom that we have to pass, where is it? Here, in what you just drawed.
There's no machsom here because before the paltsuf that exists. If I can work with the calculations in order to bestow to the Creator, that's a sign that I've crossed the machsom. Do like that again for me, and I'm done with you. I won't even look in your direction.
Of
yes.
The calculation in the Rosh. So what's the surprise that comes in the Bitush of the Opnimi and Or Mekif that he didn't know it's going to happen in the Rosh? Because in the Rosh he feels the light, he does everything, and
it doesn't care about that. It makes a calculation to the extent in which it can bestow. No result is important for it, but only to bestow.
In the Rosh, there was already a decision to purify?
When? During the Zivug?
In the Rosh.
Of course not.
So again, no. What's the difference between the Rosh and the Tabul? What happened in the Tabul that not in the Rosh?
The revelation of the ending, the cessation of reception, and such a sensation wasn't there before. That feeling wasn't there before. I didn't feel that there was an end to my bestowal to the Creator. You can say, but I did a calculation for 20% in the Rosh. So what, didn't you know it will be? No. In practice, it wasn't revealed. There's in practice and there's in force. Now, in the present state, I'm going and doing to the host everything that I can, everything that I'm capable of doing so. And I'm not making any calculations but about this. Otherwise, it's not called bestowal. Bestowal is called, I'm giving life. What's going to come out of this? What will be? I have no such questions. I'm giving. That's it. That's called in order to bestow. Less than that, it's not bestowal. Yes?
Or Yashar strikes the Masach, goes back as Or Chozer, and becomes...
No, it's not just coming back to Or Chozer. The Masach feels that pleasure is coming to it, and it wants to spread within the desire. And the Masach overcomes and rises upon it again because it doesn't want to receive it for himself. And only after it rejects and starts making a calculation of how much I want and how much the Creator wants and how much He wants and what I want and what desires of ours can be together with one another and this and that, and how we're connected, adhesion to the Creator is basically my goal, because that's how I bring him contentment. After that, after the calculation for this condition, he begins to receive it inwards.
Ochozer, close the Oishal.
It's not exactly, but let's say there's many kinds of Ochozer in the Rosh.
So what does the Masach do that it turns it into Ochozer and then it can clothe the new Oishal?
He hates reception for himself. He does a restriction upon the whole Yashar that comes to him. Doesn't want, rejects it by all means. He takes not the light, but the pleasure, but as the main thing for the calculation, but as the host, the greatness of the host as a calculation to his calculation. He makes a calculation towards the greatness of the Creator to the extent in which I want to give to him above my desire, despite all the desire and everything, just for him. And I do everything upon this sentence. I examine how much, and then after that, I can receive from here onwards into the Pertzuf. From here inwards into the Pertzuf. Above in the Patsu, in the Rosh, it's just thought. Thought. And here, it's calculation. And here, it's reception. In order to bestow. Yes. And here is rejection.
בסדר? מה?
אני בכל זאת לא מבין.
I still don't understand. You said that the masach is only in the rosh. So
there's also a masach in toch and in sof. Depends which kinds of masachs.
So you have or yashar becomes or pnimi. What enters the guf?
No, it doesn't become Or Pnimi. Part of the Or Yashar that is clothed in the Ochozer, where the Pertzuf in his Pev Rosh decides to receive, becomes Or Pnimi. Or Pnimi is not Or Yashar completely.
So the Masach is also in the Tabu?
This whole Pertzuf from Pe down is all Masach. And also in the Rosh you can say that it's a Masach, but there it's done with force, and here it's a Masach in practice. Everything works only in the Masach. There's no Masach, there's no creature, there's no Pertzuf. Okay? Just fast.
The ending Malchut, it writes that she checks all the Sfirot and decides not to receive anymore. Where does she know all this? Usually the Keter does it.
Malchut always does all the calculations. Only Malchut does all the calculations. Keter, I don't know what that is. Malchut also builds the Keter and everything. Except for Malchut, there is nothing.
Thank you.
I am continuing, there's no choice. And you should know that these two kinds of ten sfirot extend from the roots ten sfirot called Rosh, because both are included in the mating Malchut. Since there is a clothing power here, which is Ochozer that rises and clothes the upper light. There's also the detaining Masach force over Malchut, so it would not receive the light by which the zivug of Haka'ah that raises Ochozer was done, from Pe upwards. And these two forces are only the shoreshes, the roots. Yet they expand from above downward. Here, this first force, which is the clothing force, goes and is executed in the tenth sefirot of Toch, from Pe of down to the Tabul, which is the second force in the upper light and enters it into the desire. and the second force, which is the detaining Malchut from that receives the light, is executed in the ten Sefirot of Sof and Siyum from Tabur down to the end of the Etzvaot Raglim. And these two kinds of ten Sefirot, which are always called Chagat Nehim, as the ten Sefirot of Toch from Peh to Tabur are all called Chagat, and the ten Sefirot of Sof from Tabur down are all called Nehim. And remember this. Questions? There's not much to add here. It's all already clear where everything operates. Look, ask. We can explain more and more. Yes.
So what you said, the vacant place under the Siyum?
He writes, it's not me who's saying it. He says that that's the void, that there's a void there. Look at the first half of the paragraph in the end there. This is called Siyum Etzvot Raglin of the Paltuf, from which, from there, downwards, there's an empty space, a void without light. What does it mean from there down? What is there from there down? Desires that are not under the control of the Masach. In general, we learned, I hope you were here also, and if not, you have a problem, that we have Igul, and inside the Igul, we are talking about the Paltufim. And here is desires that are not Masachs. And we are talking only about the Kav, until the Kav expands and covers the whole Igul, until Ein Sof. Okay? Yes.
The detaining force is the reason and the clothing is a result?
Yes, of course. First of all, rejection. Then, calculation. After that, action.
So why does he say that the first force is the clothing and then the detaining?
Where is that? What does he mean?
He writes the second paragraph on the first force, which is clothing, comes from the ten sefirot from Peh to Tabor, and the second force,
yeah, he's revealed in the end,
even though it's the reason.
No, here in the Rosh, first what we have in the Rosh, we have here in the Rosh we have the force of rejection, first of all, and then clothing, and then calculation, and then entrance. This is where the forces work. So first, the force of rejection that he doesn't want to receive. This is the force of the Masach that's working. So where is this revealed, the force of rejection? In the Sof. For here, in these ten Sefirot, is where he cannot clothe them.
So he finds an expression for it. Yeah, I get it.
Yes? Well, wonderful. We learned a little. That's it. What else do we have?
One announcement. The Parashat Shavuot, the weekly portion lesson today, Friday, between 1:30 and 3 p.m. Have a good day, everybody. המקום עליו אנו דורכים, האוויר שאנו נושמים, עם ריחות ילדות וחברים, הבית עם השירים. כך גדלנו עם להבת הנר שעדיין בוערת בפנים, מניעה אותנו אלפי שנים מעל גלי החיים. זה הזמן, זה הזמן, זה הזמן, זה הזמן, זה הזמן לאהבה. זה הזמן, זה הזמן, זה הזמן.
אפתח כחודו של מחט, אני אפתח כפתחו של אולם. את הברית הזאת ביחד נממש עם כל העולם. ניתן לאור לחדור אל חדרי הלב, למעוף של בוקר יום. הנה ביונה לבנה עם הלב בפי המרקד שלום. זה הזמן, זה הזמן, זה הזמן, זה הזמן לאהבה. זה הזמן, זה הזמן, זה הזמן, זה הזמן לנשמה. זה הזמן, זה הזמן, זה הזמן, זה הזמן לאהבה.